I, as you were this morning, very encouraged by Brother Brian and his message. It's the second sermon that I've got to hear him preach. Super, super encouraged. I wish I shared his rhetorical skills and gifts that God's given him, but we do hold a couple of things, I think, in common. One is that we have a great love for Christ and his word. And the second one is that both of us, and who knew this, that we were both world-renowned rappers at one point. Peace to you. Let's pray. Father, help us to see wonderful things in your word. Yes. And to glorify you. And we pray these things in the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. On October the 22nd, 1939, at the onset of World War II, C.S. Lewis ascended the creaky wooden steps to the elevated pulpit at the Church of the St. Mary the Virgin at Oxford. And he did so to deliver a message, a sermon, to a chapel full of bright, yet very worried students. At the onset of the sermon, which was entitled Learning in Wartime, Lewis asked these young students the very hard question that they had no doubt been tumbling and turning over in their own minds. A question that they've been considering since the outbreak of the war. Lewis said this to these students. He said, "Why devote yourselves to your studies when the demands and the realities of war are upon us, when the lives of our friends and the liberties of Europe are upon us? Isn't that a frivolous use of your time?" Friends, I wonder if you are ever tempted, like those students were, to treat God's word the same way in your own daily life. In other words, do you allow the cares and concerns, and sometimes very valid cares and concerns, to distract you from what is necessary, which is knowing God through his word? Well, tonight in our text, as you have in front of you, from Deuteronomy 8:3, I think is a text to help us to think through that very difficult question when it's applied to our own spiritual lives. In other words, how important is God's word really? So if you don't mind, read with me. This is Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. "And he humbled you, and he let you hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man rather lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Friends, the Old Testament context for this is at the giving of manna, which we saw that was first mentioned in Exodus 16. And it stops, the cessation of the manna, in Joshua 5. And yet, during this time, God chose to sustain his people in the wilderness by a means that was previously unknown to them. And through this miraculous provision, God humbled his people. He challenged their self-sufficiency. He tested their obedience by first making them hungry so that the bread would satisfy their needs. In other words, they had manna because it came from God's command. And ultimately, it was not bread that would keep them alive or sustain them, but rather it was God's word. And from that, the manna eventually became a symbol for Israel. It became a symbol of their absolute and utter dependence upon God's word. And therefore, the main idea here is that even more fundamental to life than physical food, well, it's the sustaining word of God. And yet, we know from this passage that it's more than just the Old Testament. We know actually this verse from the New Testament. And we know it from the mouth of Jesus himself. You see, Jesus quotes this very passage at a particular time in his ministry. And if we read about this in Matthew 4:4 and Luke 4:4, Jesus is coming through a very hard season of fasting. It's 40 days. Friends, he's hungry. And Satan comes to him and he tempts him. And Jesus uses these words. And yet, if you look at this temptation, Jesus uses these words not to combat hunger, but to combat what really Satan is tempting him with. In other words, Satan's temptation came in the form of trying to get Jesus to become independent of the Father, to do his own thing. Brothers and sisters, we are going to be dependent upon something when trouble comes. What will that be for you? Will you rely upon your own wisdom? Will I rely upon my own perceived wisdom? Or brothers and sisters, will you rely upon the Word of God? We also know this passage in another way, too. Jesus says, more so from John 6, that actually he's the bread. Listen to Jesus' words in John 6 when he says these words to them. He says in verse 48, I'm the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I'm the living bread and that came down from heaven. And if anyone eats this bread, well, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Brothers and sisters, just like nothing satisfies the body like food, well, we're reminded here that nothing satisfies our souls and progresses our sanctification. Nothing more like the Word of God, the bread. In fact, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, according to Jesus here, as we were crunching on those gluten-free crackers this morning, what we were doing, according to Christ, is that it was a foretaste, thanks be to God, of a better manna that's to come. So what we begin to see here in these passages, particularly this passage, is that the Word of God is to be for the people of God, like the manna was to Israel. Day by day, nourishment and dependence. This text in Deuteronomy drives us to understand the absolute necessity of God's Word. But why? Why is how we think and feel about the Word of God, this bread, why is that so important? Friends, we could be here all night long and all this week listing those things, but I think maybe two things to consider of why this Word is so important to our lives. And one of them is this, because what we think and feel about the Word of God oftentimes mirrors what we think and feel about Jesus. The two will either rise together, or friends, they'll fall together. We can't say, in other words, that we love and follow Jesus and yet not love and obey his word. Number two, consider what the Word of God can do, which is like pretty much everything, right? However, while Scripture doesn't tell us everything that we may want to know about everything, it does tell us everything that we need to know about what the most important things actually are. Brothers and sisters, the purpose of Scripture is not ultimately to make you smart, rich, cool, relevant, or to take all your problems away, although Brother Brian is pretty cool. But rather, the aim of Scripture is this, the aim of his word is this, it's that you might be, and I might be, wise enough to see the glory of Christ and to place our faith and our trust in him to save, to guide, to maintain, to protect, to lead, to do all the things that we need in our lives. Friends, are you giving lip service to God, to the very lips of God, which are his word? Brothers and sisters, if you want to encourage your elders, and I pray that you do want to encourage your elders, show them that you are progressing in this word, in this sanctification of your life. Show them that you're partaking of the good portion of this word. And how do you do that? Well, you do it really easily. You do things like pick up that sermon card in the back and read through that sermon text before the Sunday sermon comes. Friends, this is a good word for your soul to do that. And so when you come, you have already begun to eat. You've already begun to taste, to see that the Lord is very good. Do you neglect the preaching of the word of God? Do you ever thank the Lord that our elders and our pastors are committed to feeding us, his sheep, with his word, offering us a banquet to feast upon each week? Or have you begun to take that for granted? Teenagers and college students in this room, whom I know so well, maybe not you personally, but this is my life of teaching college-age students and teenagers in this room. Are you making it a point to schedule time to read and study God's word? Or are you in danger, grave danger, like Lewis's students, to allow the cares and concerns to cause you to neglect and maybe even doubt that reading scripture would be a good use of your time? Friends, Mary would still have those words and teachings of Jesus long after that physical meal was eaten and digested. Mary chose, as we heard this morning, the good portion, the better meal, the better bread, when she dined at Jesus' feet on his teaching. And in this way, Mary was practicing, I think, the words of Deuteronomy 8:3. Man does not live by bread alone. Man actually lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And yet, here again, the pathos, the emotion of Jesus when he says to Martha, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary." Mary's chosen the good portion, which will never be taken from her. Friends, are you feasting on this bread of life? Are you looking to the one that's necessary for your soul? Have you become so troubled and anxious like Lewis's students that you've forgotten that you live by more than just bread alone, but by every word of God? Friend, if you're here, are you just once again paying lip service to that? Or are you trusting in this sovereign King and his word? And if you haven't, why haven't you? Friends, the very substance and substance of your life and soul, my life and soul, actually depend upon it. Let's pray. Sovereign Lord, we do thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for what it does in our lives, that it gives us life, Lord, it leads us to godliness. It cuts, it heals. Lord, it reveals our sin, and at the same time, it reveals the glory of Christ, who made a way for us to be made right with God. Father, may we be a people of your word. May it be a fountain, Lord, in the good portion of our lives, even this very week. We pray these things in the name of Christ. Amen.